Okay, let's review Maseches Shabbos Daf Mem Ches. The Daf begins with a story that relates to Hatmana, which is obviously the topic of this parak. First, the story goes that even though it's permissible to put a hot pot of water on top of another hot pot on Shabbos, a servant of the Reish Kalusa was criticized by the Reish Kalusa for putting a cold pot of water on top of a hot pot, because we distinguish between maintaining heat, which is mutter, and creating heat, which is asur. Second element of the story is that even though one may cover a bowl of liquid with a rag, and we're not concerned that you'll squeeze the rag, the Reish Kalusa criticized his Eved for covering a bottle with a turban. The criticism turned out to be justified because the servant actually did squeeze the liquid out of the turban, which was a violation of Schita. Now, unlike a rag, which nobody cares about, and therefore we're not concerned that you might come to do Schita, a person is much more likely to squeeze a turban, which people do care about, and therefore is a violation of schita. Is much more likely to lead to a violation of schita. Then the Mishnah had said, "V'lo b'mochin b'zman she'en machin," that one cannot insulate with soft, unprocessed material when it is still wet. Normally, one would use such material to make very expensive fabrics. So, if that material is still wet, you're not allowed to use it to insulate to do atmana. So the Gemara tries to prove, ultimately unsuccessfully, that even after such material has been used for atmana, it remains muktza, since it is primarily meant to be used for making expensive fabric. If you haven't used it for atmana, it's clearly muktza, because then it has no real Shabbos use, not even for leaning on. Even to use it as a seat or a cushion, it wouldn't be used for something like that. So if it was not used for atmana, it's obviously going to be an issue of muktza. Gemara then tells us, Rav Chisda shara la ahadure udra lebeisadya b'shabata. Rav Chisda permitted returning stuffing to a pillow on Shabbos. And the Gemara qualifies that this is only permitted if you are restuffing an old pillow. But stuffing a new pillow is a violation of tikkun mana, making a new utensil, and therefore, which is an issue of makah b'patish, and that is not permissible. The Gemara points out that the opening the neck of clothing is a violation of a melacha d'oraisa, but removing a lid from a barrel is permissible, since the lid is already a separate entity from the barrel even before it was opened. The Gemara goes on to discuss other halachos related to things that are attached to each other, such as the following. First, items such as shalal shel kofsin vishal shela shel maftechos, laundry items that are loosely stitched together, and keys that are held together on a single chain, are a chibur l'tuma. They're connected in regards to the laws of being mekabel tuma. If one of them becomes tamei, they all become tamei. Why is that so? Since shalo b'shas melacha, nami nichale. Even when they aren't being used together, you're happy to have them together. Items like a makal she'asi yad l'kardom, a stick that's being used as a makeshift axe handle, are only a chibur l'tuma when they are actually being used, not when they are not being used, since you would never keep them together when they aren't in use. There's no motivation to keep them together when they aren't in use, and therefore, when they are not in use, they do not serve as a chibur l'tuma. The Gemara then points out the idea that loosely connected items can be considered a chibur l'tuma. That idea fits nicely with Rabbi Meir, who holds in the Mishnah in Kalim that base Hapach ubeis hatavlin ubeis haner shebekira mitamin b'mag ve'in mitamin b'masa. The utensils that loosely hang from a kira become tame when the oven becomes tame through maga. This tuma, however, is only midrabanan, and it's made in order to loasi the misra falei truma kachin, that people shouldn't assume that it is a tuma d'oraisa and burn truma and kachin that have contracted this tuma, so the rabbanan didn't extend this tuma to tumas avir contracted by the kira. Meaning, the tuma through maga of these kalim that are hanging from the kira is only a tuma midrabanan. The way the rabbanan made it evident that it's only a tuma midrabanan, not a tuma d'oraisa, is by not allowing this tuma to take place to be contracted through tumas avir. And finally, the Gemara brings a brisa that certain types of multi-part scissors and carpentry utensils are chibur l'tuma ve'inu chibur l'haza'a. They're considered one kli to become tame together with the other half, but not considered one kli when it comes to being metire hit with the efer para aduma. In other words, each part would need to be sprinkled separately in order for it to become tahar. Rav explains that Dvar Torah b'shas malacha chibur bein l'tuma bein l'hazah. V'shalo b'shas malacha ein chibur lo l'tuma v'lo l'hazah. Really, Mida Oraisa, while these kelim are being used, they're considered a single unit both for ilchus tuma and for ilchus tara. When they're not being used, they're not considered a single unit for any halachos, not for ilchus tuma and not for ilchus tara. In order to make things less confusing, the Rabbanan decided to always be machmir. So they're always considered connected with regard to contracting tuma. Again, whether they're being used or not, we always consider them midrabanan to be connected or with regard to contracting tuma. So if one of them becomes tame, they all become tame. And they're never considered connected with regard to becoming tahar. Again, that is a chumrah. They're not considered connected with regard to becoming tahar. You have to sprinkle on each of them individually and separately. And that is the conclusion of the summary of Shabbos, Daf Memches.